absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to Absolutely Intercultural. This is show number 180, brought to you by me, Anne Fox, in Denmark. In this show, we're going to be featuring a new business dedicated to making it easier for all to apply to American universities. The company is called AdmitC, and we'll be talking to Stephanie Hsu, one of the co-founders. One of the biggest sources of students to American universities is China, where the university entrance process is quite different. So what would you do if you needed help in applying to a foreign university? In China, they often turn to an agent who charges a great deal of money to help you out with language issues and especially in writing a personal statement, which most Chinese have no experience with. The idea that Stephanie Hsu had was to create a site where students who had already secured a university place could share various aspects of their successful application for a much smaller fee than an agent would charge. I must admit that one of my first thoughts was, wouldn't this lead to plagiarism? But AdmitC have thought of that too, and they put all material through plagiarism software before allowing it to be part of their website. Plagiarism is also a reason to be banned from using the site. I got to talk to four people from AdmitC, and along the way I learned a great deal about the differences between applying to universities in different countries. You'll find the link to AdmitC.com on our blog at absolutely-intercultural.com, as well as a short promotional video which explains how it works. For example, I learned that in China there are different high school courses depending on whether you plan to go to university in China or abroad.
So a lot of big schools now do have a curriculum that teaches students that want to go to college in China, and then another curriculum for those that are thinking about studying abroad. So I guess that decision has to be made pretty early.
I also learned that hiring an agent to help you with your university application doesn't always help anyway.
What bothers me the most is that the amount of the payment I've given them is considered very expensive. It's a lot of money, but I didn't get my desired result.
It's always interesting to find out where ideas for new businesses come from. So that was one of my first questions when I had the chance to talk to AdmitC's co-founder, Stephanie Hsu. So let's go absolutely entrepreneurial and find out what prompted her to start this business.
I'm Stephanie Hsu. I'm from New York, and I am the co-founder of a college admissions website called AdmitC.com. And it's focused on allowing applicants to go online and see successful applications from past students.
And you've recently spent some time in Hong Kong, is that right? Did that have something to do with setting up this business?
Partially. I think the Chinese market is just something I'm familiar with because my father, his clients are all Chinese, Chinese banks. So we see a lot of actually his clients, you know, on the management side who come to the U.S. To set up branch offices, move their entire families here. And part of their reason for moving is to give their kids a better education. So it's just something that I've become more familiar with as, you know, over the past few years. And I end up actually helping a few of these kids with their applications or in reviewing their essays.
So you have dealings with children as young as elementary school stage?
I would say it's most of them come for, you know, junior high or high school. And that's kind of when they'll ask me for information, for advice. But they're definitely kids as young as, you know, 5, 6 in elementary school who are moving to the U.S. With their families or even on their own to attend boarding school.
So let me get this straight then. The parents have decided when their children are as young as 5 years old that they want their children not to study in China, but to study in America. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in China, the university entrance is based on an exam. Mm-hmm. And depending on how well you do, it determines where you end up going to school. Whereas in the U.S., the admissions process is way more well-rounded. And I would say, actually, you have a better sense of community. And it's a different kind of college experience in the U.S. than in China, for sure.
What sort of things do the students have to adjust to? And I presume we're talking mainly about Chinese students here.
Basically, the entire college education experience is extremely different between China and the U.S. And just getting used to, even, for example, participating in class is a very different sort of beast. In the U.S., people are much more willing to participate, and professors expect you to participate in class, whereas I think in China, it's people are a little bit more conservative. And I've definitely seen this while studying in Hong Kong this past year, where people are reluctant to speak up in class, even though they have the answers. So even something as simple as that, it can be a really huge adjustment.
So you were actually spending a year of your college degree in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I'm getting my law degree, so I'm obtaining my JD.
Okay, so that experience gave you a first-hand view of what some of the challenges might be, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
So how did your course colleagues react when, for example, you did answer questions or maybe even dared to ask a question?
I think it's expected that the exchange students are the ones who speak up in class. If for the local students, if they're called on, I'm actually always very impressed because they have the answers and they've done the reading, they're prepared for class. Whereas, you know, I guess the foreign students, they're just more willing to share, even though they might not have the answers, which is very often the case on my part.
So it looks as though your own immediate context has a lot to do with what type of business idea you're going to come up with. Next, I had a very short chat with Ilse Calderon, another AdmitC employee who had a very different experience. She told me about the big differences she found between starting at a university in France and the US. You're about to hear why I call this segment absolutely home-based.
After I finished high school, before coming to Stanford, I spent a year abroad living in Bordeaux in France.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like super interesting how their whole college process works versus my personal experience when I was a high school senior.
Mm.
And for one, I do think that the American students have a lot more. They, you know, the students have more help and more emphasis on the college application process. While, at least from my perspective, whenever I lived a year in France, most of the students there pretty much focused on staying in a university close to home. So I would say that there's kind of a need for non-American students to explore further boundaries about the college application and just going to college in general. And for example, I remember that like I dedicated an entire summer after my high school junior year to the application process and all that. While over there in France, it's just kind of like, okay, let me enroll. It's less focused on the apply and like put yourself out there and be unique and all this advice that AdmitC is giving students compared to in France.
The next AdmitC employee I talked to has himself been through the confusing process of trying to get a college place while based in China by putting his trust in a third party. Let's hear why it is so absolutely complicated.
My name is Jian Gengzhang, but for short, I go by Jian. I'm from China, north part of China, around Beijing area. I came to New York for my bachelor, for my graduate degree in public relations and corporate communications. Currently, I'm working with Missy.com for their marketing and PR associated work.
Is it a very different experience applying for a university in China compared to applying to a university in America?
Oh, yes, definitely. In China, we have a college entrance exam. Basically, it's one exam. You have a test score of two sets of different subjects, which is literature and science. You have those test scores, you send it to the university that you're applying to. You do that solely online. The university doesn't really care about essays or experiences. They only focus on the test scores on the two sets of subjects that you're taking. But applying for American university is much different, because in America, you need to submit your essay, submit your work experience, submit your personal statement. And each individual school have their own admission offices, and each individual schools, they are looking for something different from one individual. So that's very different.
So what sort of help do Chinese applicants need? They basically have never had to write a personal statement. Is that right?
Yes, but it's not limited to only personal statement. Sometimes schools in America need writing samples or essays in specific areas. And some of the Chinese students, they only know those specific things. They can only provide those specific things in Chinese. In terms of translating or phrasing in English, they may have a lot of trouble.
So presumably when you applied, this service didn't exist. So how did you get the help that you needed in order to fill out the forms and give the American universities what they wanted to see?
I went through application agent, which was a very unpleasant experience for me personally, because the agent not only messed up the whole ISIS that they supposed to have some insight on. They messed up with application materials that I'm supposed to send out. So I've done everything myself, but in the process, they provide me with very little insight. Mm. And what bothers me the most is that the amount of the payment I've given them, it's considered very expensive. It's a lot of money. But I didn't get my desired result. So compared to an agent, Missy.com actually is more efficient in that way, because you can customize whatever that you want, whatever you want, to yourself. I learned that one agent probably would take 20 to 30 students, so they cannot pay their maximum attention to you.
Mm.
However, if you use Missy.com, you are your own client, you are your own agent, and you can get all the information that you need from an agent with like a fraction of the pay from the website.
Mm.
So that's my experience. I wish that website could be around when I was applying to American universities. I would save a lot of money and effort.
Yes, of course. Presumably, though, the entrance requirements for American universities are different, not only because they're different, but because the experience is different. So when you, for example, went to New York, presumably you had to make a few adjustments for coming from the Chinese system.
The education system in America and in China is so different. I remember that in China, the classrooms are basically a closed educational environment where the teacher have the maximum authority, and basically they give out knowledge and information to you. Your job is to write it down, remember everything, and then do well in the test. But here in America, you're encouraged to challenge your professors, you're encouraged to participate in various class activities. And I find that a lot of my Chinese classmates coming to New York, that they have a hard time adjusting to this kind of classroom environment. They have they normally just stay quiet in class, taking down notes, but that was not the professor was looking for.
Mm. It must feel all wrong to you.
Yes, yes, a lot of trial and error.
And finally, let's hear from another AdMIT-C employee, Mindy Zhu, whose aunt in China found another way to prepare her son for college in America.
I was interested to find out that actually the process of thinking about college in China starts way before high school. Is that right?
Well, I would say that especially if you want to study abroad, a lot of Chinese high school students have to prepare much, much, much ahead. So basically, since the Chinese school system is different than the American school system, in order to take the SATs or to study the material that American high schools or middle schools would teach, you would basically have to learn that curriculum and find a school that teaches that curriculum. So a lot of big schools now do have a curriculum that teaches students that want to go to college in China, and then another curriculum for those that are thinking about studying abroad. So I guess that that decision has to be made pretty early.
About what age would that be then?
I would say by the end of sixth grade, seventh grade, I think.
Okay, so early. What I've heard is that your aunt back in China has set up something to help high school students. Is it high school students? Can you tell me a bit more about it?
Okay, so basically my aunt, her son, so my cousin, actually is studying abroad right now in America for high school. And she plans on sending him to an American college as well. And so what she wanted to do was actually get a lot of parents who were in the same situation together, because she felt like, you know, it would be easier to get information about, you know, they could work together to send their children out there, they could share information. So she basically created this group of parents and their children who are planning to study abroad. And so this camp, it had its first year last year, but it's pretty big. It consists about probably 60 students or so. And then there are also some middle school students as well. There's some middle school and high school students. And so this camp basically over the summer invited a couple teachers from America to teach in the city they're in, which is Chengdu. And so these teachers basically taught things related to American culture, but also things related to the SAT and the college admissions process. So it ran for about 2 weeks or so, and I think they're planning to hold it again next year.
So what sort of things do the Chinese students need to know about American culture?
I think it's mainly, since a lot of these students do want to study abroad, it's just best to get as much information as possible by interacting with these teachers and having native people from America actually share their experiences with these students. So there are topics, like each day had a topic, so there's, you know, ranging from historical figures to idioms in English, to, you know, etiquette when eating. It just covers like a range of topics that might be useful, or, you know, how the school system is set up, because the school system is completely different from China's as well. So just to have that information is useful for the students.
So thanks to AdMIT-C for getting in touch with us and for being willing to share all their stories. I certainly learned a great deal about the problems faced by applicants outside the US, although AdMIT-C is also useful for American high schoolers too. It all seems very different from my own experience with the British system of using the centralised UCAS system many years ago. Now, this podcast is coming out on the 4th of July, so if you are American, what does the 4th of July mean to you? And if you're outside the USA, do you celebrate it anyway, or does it feel odd when all around you just carry on as normal? Let us know as a comment on the blog post for this show at absolutely-intercultural.com or as a comment on our Facebook page. In my next show, I'll be featuring somebody who got in touch with us through our Facebook page. You'll have to wait until September to find out more. We have over 350 likes at the moment, so why not help us reach our next milestone before the next show on August the 1st and like us on Facebook. Right now, the FIFA World Cup is going on, so you'll find a few related posts, such as how the Dutch airline KLM got it so wrong on Twitter, and why the Swiss team is such a contradiction. The next show will be coming to you from Germany with Laurent Borgmann on August the 1st. So until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.